So the readings from Jonah 2, verses 1 to 10, and it can be found on page 97 of your pew Bibles if you want to follow it. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me, and the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought up my life from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land."
Good morning, everyone. Okay. The story goes that in February 1891, a ship hunting whales was off the coast of the Falkland Islands. The crew spotted a sperm whale and let down two boats. They successfully harpooned the whale, but as it thrashed around, it upended one of the boats. One man drowned, and another, James Bartley, disappeared. The whale was killed, and as the men worked on the whale over the next day or two, they were startled to see that something in its stomach was moving. When they cut the stomach open, they found James Bartley, doubled up and unconscious. It took him 3 weeks to recover. His face and hands never returned to their usual color, having been bleached white by the whale's stomach juices. Bartley could remember being thrown into the water, engulfed by darkness, and slipping along a smooth passage that seemed to move and carry him on. He came to an area with more room, and reaching around, he could feel slimy walls, and he realized he'd been swallowed. He had enough air, but it was very hot, and eventually he passed out. He lived another 18 years, and his gravestone in Gloucester says, "James Bartley, a modern day Jonah." More recently, in June last year, Michael Packard, a lobster diver off the coast of Massachusetts, was on his third dive one morning when suddenly something slammed into him like the weight of a train and everything went black. He had been swept into the mouth of a humpback whale. He could feel the mouth muscles of the whale working away and he thought, "This is it, I'm going to die." Then the whale started going up, it reached the surface of the water, shook its head, and Packard flew out of its mouth. It lasted about 40 seconds, but probably seemed like eternity. So perhaps Jonah in the Bible is not the only one to have had a brush with creatures in the sea. I expect that many of us are familiar with the story of Jonah, perhaps from a young age, purely because of his amazing adventure in being swallowed by a great fish. It's so dramatic, it captures the imagination. But Jonah isn't just a children's story. It has much to say to us today, and much to say to us as we seek to learn how to pray. So if you'd like to have your Bibles open at page 927, and so let's pray now as we come to God's word. Lord, teach us to pray. This is our prayer all the time, but especially this autumn as we look at these prayers in your word. Please open our eyes and our ears and our hearts this morning to what we can learn from your word. Amen. Jonah was a prophet of God, used by God to speak to the people. He lived 800 years before Jesus, and he spoke the words of God primarily to God's people, the Jewish nation. One day, God asks Jonah to go to Nineveh, a city of over 120,000 people, and God asks him to tell them to turn away from their wickedness, or else the city would be destroyed. Jonah is not happy. Nineveh is not an Israelite nation. It's the capital city of Israel's enemy, part of a harsh, cruel nation, Assyria. It might be a bit like God asking a prophet from the Ukraine to go to Russia and give his word and call people back to him. Jonah is not happy about the mission God is calling him on. And at the end of the book of Jonah, we find out that the reason he wasn't happy is because he knows that God, in his mercy, will have compassion on these people. But they are the enemies of his country, and Jonah wants them destroyed. So he ignores God's call. He runs away from the Lord and goes off in the opposite direction. Nineveh is 500 miles east of where Jonah lives. But Jonah goes about 2,000 miles in the opposite direction by getting on a boat that will take him to southwest Spain. And on that boat, a violent storm starts up. The ship is going to break up, so the sailors throw cargo into the sea to try and lighten the ship. Nothing helps, and they eventually work out that Jonah is the reason why the storm is so bad. The sailors are terrified at his words that he is running away from the Lord, the God of heaven, the maker of the sea and the land. Jonah tells them simply to throw him overboard, and then the sea will be calm again. But the sailors keep trying everything they can think of, but the sea gets wilder and wilder, and so in the end, they chuck Jonah overboard. And immediately, it's calm. And then we read right at the end of chapter 1, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. And then he prays, the words we've heard read today. So the first thing we learn about prayer here is pray sooner rather than later. Not once in chapter 1 do we see Jonah praying. He hears God's call. He doesn't respond. He doesn't tell God how much he's cheesed off with this new calling. He flees from God rather than talk to him, presumably hoping to just leave God behind. Not once do we see him praying in the storm. We see the pagan sailors praying to their gods. We see them with respect for Jonah's God and terrified that he's running away from him. We see them then praying to Jonah's God, offering him sacrifices and making vows. Jonah, prophet of the living God, does none of these things. And I wonder what difference there might have been if he had. But God hasn't given up on Jonah. He sends a beast of a fish to rescue him. And only when Jonah finds himself inside a fish does he pray. Nothing up to that point had caused him to pray. How much are we the same? We wait and we wait. We pray as a last resort when really there is no way out. A survey in 2018 revealed that 24% of non-believing people will turn to prayer in a crisis. Or perhaps we're too busy and preoccupied with all that's going on, with coping with our lives, that we don't think to come to God in prayer. Our last hymn today has these words: "Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Jonah would teach us to pray sooner rather than later. Prayer makes a difference. It changes people, it changes situations. God longs to hear your voice, whether you pray a lot or whether you hardly ever think to do so. Don't leave it. Don't wait to pray. Don't wait until you've run out of other options, like Jonah, who had nowhere else to go once he was in the belly of the fish. And so he prayed. The second thing we learn about prayer from Jonah is pray as you are and where you are. Jonah isn't in a good place, physically, emotionally, spiritually, that's probably to put it mildly. Physically, he can't be in good shape. He's been tossing and turning on the sea, maybe seasick, then he's thrown into the water. He's got seaweed around his head, he says. He's wet and exhausted, and he believes he's fast approaching death. His life is ebbing away. Verse 2 says that he is in the realm of the dead. Emotionally, he's in distress, we read in verse 2. He must be scared and hopeless. And all that has got him to this point must have left him feeling guilty, full of shame, angry, and desperate. And spiritually, he's not in a good place. He's run away from God. He's actively and purposely disobeyed God. He's even teaching himself things that aren't true. In verse 4, "I said, I have been banished from your sight." That's not true. But Jonah is in chaos. For the Israelites, the sea represents chaos, and we get that sense here. Storm, wind, waves, risk to life. Chaos is there in Jonah's language, being hurled into the depths, currents swirling, waves sweeping over him. The middle verses of Jonah's prayer say it all. Verses 5 and 6. "The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever." There is a picture of being imprisoned, barred in. It speaks of death. Jonah can sink no lower. He turns to prayer exactly where he is, in the stomach of a fish. Right in the midst of the realm of the dead, he prays. There is no need to wait until we are in church or sat comfortably at home. We can ask for God's help, as Jonah did, right where we are. In my last job, I used to pray in the toilet after a tricky meeting. I've prayed as the car I was traveling in was hit from behind. I prayed during my cataract surgery. Jonah calls to the Lord for help exactly where he finds himself. And he prays exactly as he is. He doesn't hold back. He prays his distress, his need for help, his cries. He sees it that God has hurled him into the sea. Perhaps he's blaming God. He feels God has turned his face away from him. He's threatened, surrounded, and sunk. Jonah prays where he is and exactly as he is. And the value of that honesty is that the Lord answers, the Lord listens, he helps. He is there, he is with Jonah. He's been there all along. And that brings me to the third point that we can learn. We need to pray knowing that we are totally dependent on God. Jonah knew that. He was stuck and stuffed unless God did something. His prayer could all too easily have ended at verse 6. To the roots of the mountain I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. Full stop. And then we have the rest of verse 6. But you, Lord, my God, you brought my life up from the pit. That's another word for the grave. Jonah's life was ebbing away. He remembered the Lord that he had forgotten. He turned back to him. His prayer was heard, and he was rescued. He was in a place where he knew he was totally dependent on God. He could do nothing at all to sort things out. And he finds God's mercy and patience and compassion and kindness and forgiveness, and that God is a God of second chances. It's as if God has brought him back from the dead, free from the bars that would lock him in. Jonah spent 3 days and nights in the fish, near certain death, but his life is brought up from the pit. And for us today here, it brings to mind another scenario. Our Lord Jesus, who spent 3 days in the ground and rose to life. In Matthew 12, Jesus talks about Jonah, that he was a sign pointing towards Jesus, a sign pointing to someone greater. He was a living prophecy of another who would be barred in the earth beneath for 3 days, but who would rise to life again, defeating death forever and unlocking the gates of death's deepest prison, so that we need have no fear of death. It's a picture too of what's happening in baptism. This morning we've heard to follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Jonah gives us a picture of the good news we have in Jesus, as Ephesians 2 puts it. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our sin. When we could sink no lower, when we could only fail to reach God's standards, he reaches out to us in Jesus through his death on the cross, taking the punishment for sin that should have been ours. But you, O Lord, brought my life up from the pit, to use Jonah's words. God in Jesus offers us new life, new hope, second chances. But we are totally dependent on him and what he has done. And so let's always pray, remembering that. Jonah couldn't do a thing to save himself. And the same is true for us. We rely on God's love for us, his mercy, and his grace, which he offers in abundance. To turn to other things in our lives and rely on them is to turn away from God's love. Verse 8 says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs, or as another version puts it, to turn to worthless idols is to turn from God's love. We might cling to status or money or lifestyle as our priorities in life, but this is to turn from God's love. And as with Jonah, we need to respond. Verse 6 said, but you, Lord my God. Verse 9 says, but I. In response to God's rescue, Jonah is thankful and he acknowledges salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation or deliverance, rescue comes from the Lord Jesus, nowhere else and no one else. So as we pray, let's pray sooner rather than later. Let's pray where we are and as we are. And let's pray knowing that we depend on him from start to finish. We depend on his mercy and his love, which are there waiting for us as we turn towards him. They have never been taken away. I think the prayer of Jonah speaks to many of us, to those of us who place too much store by their bank balance or their career or their social connections. Jonah would say, turn back to God's love as your security. To those of us who want to run away from God because of what he's calling us to do, to those of us who are in danger of running away from God, perhaps by making a bad decision, whether that be embarking on an affair or a dodgy financial transaction or covering something up, Jonah would say, don't do it. It may well take a long time and a lot of heartache to get back on track. To those of us who have hit rock bottom, can hardly lift our heads, Jonah would say that the Lord is near. Call on him. To those of us who have gone the wrong way, Jonah would say, all is not lost. It never is. To those of us who keep trying to be what we think is good enough, but who keep failing, Jonah would say, salvation comes from the Lord and him alone. And he would remind all of us that God's default position, his fallback, is always his love and his compassion and his kindness and his longing for people to know him and walk with him. Jonah discovered that, as did the people of Nineveh when Jonah finally got there. And it's true for us. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what we can learn from Jonah's experience, that it's better to pray sooner rather than later, that we can have confidence in who you are, and that we should depend on you praying exactly as we are and where we are. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your love and your kindness shown to us in Jesus. That means you will never turn us away. And in his name we pray. Amen.